16, Matthew 16. I want to take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us over the internet. And also, if you're listening to this on radio, it's a delayed broadcast. But we would, I would extend to you a special invitation to come and be with us at Grace Bible Church. I don't usually mention this on our Sunday morning message, but these do get played on the radio. And there are people here in Chattanooga that listen from time to time. And we would love to have you come visit with us. We're located at 3827 Nixon Pike. And had a call this week from an individual that had been listening every day. He said it took him 3 days to get the telephone number because he was driving and never could get it written down. So I'm going to give you the telephone number where you can reach us. It's 423-847-0768. I'll try to remember to give it again at the end of the broadcast. But for each one that's listening in, we appreciate it, and we would love to have you come be with us at Grace Bible Church anytime. All right, we've been doing a study over the last few weeks about some errors that are taught in regard to dispensational truth. And here for our group, I put a list of some of those in our bulletin. If you, any of you listening want a copy of this, I can email it to you. But the fact is that there are numerous errors that arise from the teaching of the church starting in Acts chapter 2. And this is in by no means is are these messages intended to belittle the people that hold that position. There are many saved people that hold that position, and this is not to condemn them or run them down, but it is to expose the error of that teaching, because that error can have a lot of damage in relation to what we believe. And I think that's pointed out in a couple of passages we're going to read. The first one being Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand, or neither remember, the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it, and notice, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine, the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now the story here is pretty plain, and Jesus Christ is using a very simple illustration. A little leaven, leaven is the whole lump. We're going to look at that verse in a moment. But he's talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees, and that's made clear in verse 12 when it says, they understood how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So the idea there is that a little bad doctrine, like a little leaven, leaven's a whole lot, a little bad doctrine can really make confusion of the whole issue of truth. And that's what Jesus is trying to convey. Now, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, look in verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you're puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily is absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, before I read the next verse, verse 5, I believe can be, you can identify the meaning of that verse if you study what Paul says about separation. And the idea there is that they would separate for that individual and not be a part of what was going on there. And he goes on to say there in verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? What do you do then? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Look also over in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, I wanted to read these verses just to demonstrate the idea of how false teaching can permeate that which is true and destroy, really, the impact of truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 6, Paul says there, I believe that's the right verse. I'm in Galatians. Did I say Galatians? Where are you? Let's go to Galatians then. Galatians chapter 5. We'll read it first. Galatians 5 verse 9. Paul says, well, let's go back. Let's just start in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The idea there at Galatia was there were those that had come in behind Paul and had told the people that unless you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. And when Paul said they had fallen from grace, they had fallen away from the doctrine of grace. I believe many of those at Galatia had been saved, but then had fallen away from the doctrine of grace, and that often happens today. Listen, somebody could be saved by the grace of God, trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then fall into all manner of false doctrine. And yet, most of the time when that happens, we just want to jump up and say, well, they're lost because of what they've done. Well, if they ever trusted Christ, their Savior, they're still saved. And they may fall into false doctrine. They may get swept away with false doctrine. As a matter of fact, Paul said that in the latter days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, how are you going to fall away from the faith if you were never in the faith? So don't get this idea that because somebody preaches something a little different than we preach, that they're lost. There's a lot of saved people out there that don't rightly divide the word of truth. But it's beneficial to them to rightly divide the word of truth, and that's why we have a ministry of trying to show people how to rightly divide the word of truth, and we'll talk about that more in a moment. But go back. I'm going to get you back to 1 Corinthians 5 regardless. 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover sacrifice. I read that a moment ago, but I want to go back because I want you to think about that in relation to 1 Corinthians 15, where we were last week. 1 Corinthians 15. You remember what we talked about last week? 1 Corinthians 15 and the resurrection. The whole chapter is about resurrection and how that is important to the gospel. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, after all that Paul has said about the resurrection, we get down to verse 33. Paul says, be not deceived. What was the deception? Well, back earlier in the chapter, he said, there are those that are preaching that there is no resurrection of the dead, and if we're not going to be raised from the dead, neither was Christ raised. So he says in verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Our manner of life. In other words, the way that what we believe should have a great determination on how we live. And if you're believing there's no resurrection, then you've never been saved. We looked at the verses last week. If thou shalt believe in the heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The gospel is incomplete without that third part being the resurrection. Now, over the last few weeks before Easter, we looked at two areas where Acts 2 dispensationalism is, I feel like, an error. Number one, it is taught by many that there's only one gospel in the Bible. And we spent a whole week on that. The second one was the Bible teaches there's only one way to be saved. And obviously, that is easily debunked when you look at all the scriptures that we looked at in relation to salvation throughout the Bible. The third thing that's listed on this list, and by the way, I'll remind people that this list is not unique to me. I found this list in a book years ago and saved it. And so some of these may be a little off. I mean, you couldn't say that every Acts 2 dispensationalist teaches all of these things, in other words. But the third thing I want to address today is that there is a common teaching that Pauline truth is simply a continuation of what Jesus taught in his earthly ministry. Now, the reason people teach that is because they do not want to acknowledge the fact that Paul was given a separate and distinct revelation. For in acknowledging that, then they have to acknowledge certain truths that Paul teach are unique. And they are. So what I want to do, and this is going to be really refresher stuff for most everybody, because you've heard these things over and over, but there are people that may not have, and so I want to simply compare and show you some teachings of Christ where Paul taught not only differently, but in direct contradiction. And this has led many Bible scholars to say that Paul went about to destroy the Christianity that Jesus Christ established. I mean, I've read that, and I can find you documents where people say that Paul was anti-Christian. There was even a Jewish rabbi that wrote an article and said Paul introduced a whole new Christianity in his epistles that was never preached by Jesus Christ. I thought that's pretty interesting that a Jew could see that, and you got millions of people out here in religion that can't. But he did. All right, let's start back in Matthew chapter 19. It is clear in the Scriptures that Jesus Christ taught his disciples to keep the law. And I'm not going to go into great detail because we covered this when we talked about being more than one gospel in the Bible. But in Matthew chapter 19, in verse 17, the Bible says, verse 16, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good, but one that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Now I know there's a lot of additional stuff said after that, but the fact is that you've got a verse in your Bible where Jesus Christ is telling an individual to keep the commandments. Look over in Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, verse 1. "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Well, the scribes and the Pharisees that sit in Moses' seat were most definitely preaching the law. Moses, preaching the law of Moses. And Jesus said, whatever they bid you observe, do it. In other words, a direct instruction to keep the law. So somebody comes along and says, well, yeah, that was true. And Jesus Christ said, I came not to destroy the law. But then the cross happened, and so the law was taken out of the way, done away with at the cross. Well, let's see about that. Go over to Acts chapter 21. Acts 21. Now, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on these verses, because what we want to do is believe the verses mean what they say, where they say them, to who they say, to who they're written. In Acts chapter 21, the Apostle Paul is going down to Jerusalem. In verse 15, "After those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly, and the day following Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it," now keep in mind, they rejoice in what Paul tells them about his ministry, and yet, in verse 20 it says, "When they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they're all zealous of the law." Then they were not being taught to forsake the law, were they? I mean, if they're zealous of the law, they were being taught to keep the law. Now go over to Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, So can we agree that Jesus taught in his earthly ministry his disciples and his followers to keep the law? Amen? Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our enemies to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So did Paul teach those at Rome to keep the law? Christ taught his disciples to keep the law. Paul didn't. Well, then it can't be that Paul's ministry is a continuation of what Jesus Christ taught, because he taught something completely different. Not only that, Jesus Christ taught clearly that there were things that they were to do to inherit eternal life. When we studied about the salvation, we looked at James, and James chapter 2, verse 24 says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." And Paul says, "But him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So did not only contradict the teachings of Christ, he contradicted those that were taught by Christ and wrote that which they were taught by Christ, as in James and 1 and 2 Peter and so forth. Not only that, look back in Matthew chapter 6 and get also Colossians chapter 2. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And then we have what is referred to today as the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Did Jesus Christ teach that forgiveness was conditional? Yes, he did. He said, if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And by the way, there are multitudes of people that teach that today. Some mega church preachers. And I could name some specifically, but I won't. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, I didn't read the whole chapter, but if you want to go back and check me out, just to be sure, you know, I always encourage people, you verify by the Scriptures. You're not going to find anywhere in Colossians chapter 2 that Paul mentions forgiving other people. So did Paul teach about forgiveness what Christ taught about forgiveness? Absolutely not. He taught practically the opposite. That there's nothing that we have. He said Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day. Not only that, when Jesus Christ, go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And so then Jesus begins to list some of the signs of the end of the age. In verse 14, he says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Well, look over in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20. And we won't take time to turn there, but in Romans 1:16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What did Jesus say should be preached? The gospel of the kingdom. What did Paul say he was not ashamed of? The gospel of Christ. And it's very interesting, folks, that many translations of the Bible, most all of them except the King James, leave out that phrase in Romans 1:16, of Christ. They just say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And now people say, well, there's only one gospel in the Bible. No, there's the gospel of Christ. There's the good news of Christ. There's the good news of the kingdom, the coming kingdom upon the earth. And not only that, in Acts chapter 20, in verse 24, Paul says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So we see then that there are some definite differences in what Paul taught and what Jesus taught. Go over to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. I don't really think it's enough just to say that Paul taught things different than what Christ taught there, but I think you ought to understand the reason. And we're given that reason in Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, look in verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now listen to what Paul says. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. That's not us, folks. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul said we were strangers from the covenants of promise. Ephesians 2:12. He says here, Jesus Christ. And this one verse right here will tell us why Jesus Christ taught what he taught. He was a minister of the circumcision. do with the circumcision, the Jews. He was a minister of the circumcision. His ministry was to convey the truth of God and to confirm all those promises that God made unto the fathers. And when you get down to verse 16, Paul said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Is Paul saying the same thing about his ministry that he said about Christ's ministry? No. Jesus Christ himself said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Paul said he was the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. So, another illustration of where Paul did not say what Christ said. He said something different. Not only that, Jesus Christ instructed the 12 specifically to, in carrying out the Great Commission, to baptize people in water. Look in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Look in Mark chapter 16. And if you can't keep up with this, just mark them down because I need to hurry here. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Notice over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. With Peter and James and John, or any of the other apostles that followed Christ, his disciples, would they have been able to truthfully say, Christ sent me not to baptize? He sent them specifically to baptize. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them that believe. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Not only that, go back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. I know we're covering a lot of scripture, folks, but the fact is that so many times people just ignore these things. They'll make a blanket statement like, well, Paul preached the same thing Jesus did, and yet there are numerous things that Paul preached different. In example, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Why did he say that? Because all of that was going to be provided for them in the tribulation and going into the kingdom. But notice what Paul says over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In 2 Thessalonians 3, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, and now, He says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which you received of man. Which you received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Did Paul take thought for his life, what he was going to eat and drink and put on? Absolutely he did. And not only for his life, but for those that were with him. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Well, what did they do back in Acts chapter 2? They sold their possessions, they brought what they had, and they laid it at the apostles' feet in direct obedience to what they had taught by Jesus Christ himself. But when Paul was given the ministry he was given, it was made clear to him that he was not going to be able to operate under the instructions given to the 12. He was given a whole new set of doctrine, and that's what Paul operated on. As a matter of fact, back in Matthew 6, you don't need to turn back there. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now remember what Jesus said, lay not for yourself treasures upon earth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, Paul said, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I speak not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will verily gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Later over in Timothy, Paul, there's a purpose behind this scripture. The children were to lay up for the parents were to lay up for the children. Why? Because in their old age, the children are said to requite the parents, that is to repay them. So there was, back then, the family unit, they took care of each other. And as the people got elderly, I wish all of my grandchildren and kids were here. When the elders became elderly, the children were supposed to take care of them. And you still see that in many places. We had an exchange student back in 1988. He was living in the house that was 800 years old. That every generation of his family and lived in. And he said his grandparents would live there until they died, and his parents would then live there till they died, and he said, I will then live there till I die. And I said, well, Matt, you better get busy having some kids, because there has to be somebody to come after you. But you see, these things were very practical things that were laid out. But when Jesus is teaching people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, his disciples, it's all in relation to a coming kingdom. And that kingdom is not going to come until prophecy is fulfilled and the 70th week of Daniel is fulfilled. And Paul is operating outside the realm of that. You see, the dispensation of grace is a parenthetical age. So if you get to the book of John and then go through Acts and then you go Romans through Philemon, it's like a parenthesis. And what Paul is teaching is specific to the church, the body of Christ. And there are multitudes of people that will operate on the basis of what Paul taught. But they would never admit to be followers of Paul. They would continue to go back and try to claim the promises of the kingdom, both in the past and in the future. And you know, the thing is that most people study the Bible. Like Brother Moore, what Brother Moore used to say is, they go through the Bible like a bulldozer. And they pick out what they want, and they push the other to the side. And they pick out this verse, and they push the others to the side. and they get them all as collection of verses, and then that gets ingrained in tradition, and then that gets taught over and over again till people accept it as truth. Folks, the bottom line is, all the Bible is written to us. It's all written for our learning and our admonition, but it is not all written to us. And when you say that the church started in Acts chapter 2, that opens the door for multitudes of truths to be taught that are in error today. If you say the church started with Paul in Acts chapter 9 and acknowledge dispensational truth, it's going to make a tremendous difference in your life. And that's why we teach that. And that's why we try to make people see that, even saved people. It's a great blessing. You know, besides being saved, the second greatest blessing in my life was seeing the Word rightly divided. Seeing that I didn't have all the promises and the curses of Israel upon me. I'm operating under grace. And we're all operating under grace. And therefore, we need to follow our apostle, the Apostle Paul. I thank you for being here today. I hope that the message has been somewhat enlightening to you, those that tuned in. We appreciate you doing so. And I did want to give the telephone number again for anybody that wants to contact me. The number is 423-847-0768. If you're on the Internet, you're on our website or either listening on Facebook, and our website is understandingyourbible.com. And on that website, you can find my email address and telephone number, and also the address of the church. And we would love to have you. In closing, just let me say that we mentioned there, and I never go through a message without mentioning the gospel, and I did today, because I think we saw that the gospel preached is not, that was taught by Jesus Christ of keeping the law, is not the gospel that we're taught. We're not under the law. Christ died for all of our sins. And if somebody's trying to put you under the law, I'm not just saying the law of Moses, but the law of their religious system or their traditions. You need to reject that and accept the fact that you can be saved by believing what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary and receiving the free gift of salvation. I thank you for being here today, and we're dismissed.